I'm happy to have on the show today Rhett Roberts. He's the CEO of LoanPro. They're powering financial innovation with modern loan servicing. So, Rhett, what did you build this business to? How is the revenue doing right now?
That's great. Thanks for having me on today, Chad. Appreciate it. Our business is a little bit north of $50 million in revenue.
And when did you found this particular venture?
Yeah, about 2017. But we've been at a journey for a number of years, and it concatenated a number of businesses, one rolled into another. And that whole journey, we're approaching 20 years on it now.
Wow. And how many employees do you now have?
A little over 200. I think it's 218 folks are on our team right
now. It's amazing. So over this journey of moving from one business to the other, what did it start with?
Oh, our genesis story. So I did my education. I wasn't going to go do the business side of things, right? My education's in investment finance, and I was going to go back on Wall Street. I got married about that time and kind of reassessed, is this really what I want to do? And I decided actually to go join my two brothers, and we started a car dealership. And we didn't have two nickels to rub together, so we were trying to figure out what we're doing in the space and things. And really that journey left, we did the car dealerships that led us into, we owned some service centers. And from there, we learned we could sell more cars and we'd help our customers get financed. And we got into the auto lending space almost 20 years ago. And it's a little more commonplace today to do that, but it was more unique back at that timeline. And the auto lending led us into the business we do today. And we ran into a problem managing our own auto loans. There wasn't very good software to manage the portfolio. And if I manage, a borrower would call in and say, hey, I've changed my job. Can I change my due date? And the software we were using at that time didn't have a button for that. And it compounded that across all the different servicing events and compliance and math and frustrations in the legacy technologies. We decided to go ahead and build that software internally to our own lending company. Fast forward to present day, what was that internal tool of our lending company turned into what LoanPro is. And we provide software to lenders of all shapes and sizes, different flavors of loans, ranging from consumer or B2B versus B2C. Also, there might be a closed-end installment or a line of credit or a credit card or the system of record and the lending core to support loans of any flavor.
So you chose to hit it purely from a technology perspective, and you're not actually doing the lending.
Correct. Yeah. So we're the tech stack that lenders will use to manage their portfolio, essentially solving the same problem we had when we were the lender. We needed the technology. Turns out lenders of all shapes and sizes have the same problem as well. So today, LoanPro's business model is purely a tech play, but we're enabling lenders of all different kinds to go ahead and how they can manage their portfolios and stay compliant.
Now, was this the first iteration of the technology? I know you said 2017 is really when it got going, but what happened?
So the very first iteration was just an internal tool to our own lending company. So if you're familiar with the founding stories of many companies, but like Slack, for example, Slack's journey and experience was they were backed by a PE firm. They were actually building a video game and they got to a spot, this isn't going to work. And so they went back to the PE firm and said, hey, we got a bunch of money in the bank and we just want to give it back to you because this thing didn't work out. Sorry. And the PE firm's, I don't really want your money back because I got to get a return on the fund and things. Did you build anything that's valuable? They're like, we were a distributed model. So we built this really cool advanced version of Skype for our team to engage with one another. They're like, oh, what's that thing? And then they pivoted and that eventually turned into Slack. So you're probably familiar with that story. We had a very similar piece for us where the businesses that we were trying pivoted and adjusted, right? So it's this concept of the phoenix where you try something and maybe that didn't work and out of the ashes build something else. So we did a whole bunch of different businesses over the years. When we were kids, we built and actually filed some patents and built a bridge that would suction cup to a windshield and it would inject resin into a rock chip. To fix that, a rock chip, then built software to submit claims to the insurance companies to do that back office kind of things. And then we built a whole like summer sales team that would go out and a variety of different states, mostly in the Southwest, and would fix windshields, rock chips and things. at oil stations, like a Jiffy Lube kind of place, or at car washes, or even at people's homes. So we built that, we sold that business. We did a number of different businesses that I'll call them like jobs, right? They're really good ideas. They could generate some revenue, but they didn't really get them legs on their own. And that led us into the car dealership and the story I shared briefly prior. So it's this idea that I didn't come out of business school saying, let me build system critical banking or technology or banking technology to manage loans. It was this like that book Move with the Cheese, right? Look for an opportunity and adjust and tweak. And it's always this solve by iteration methodology that we've approached it from.
It seems like technology was always a part of your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I think so. The confluence of technology and just like the age range we're at and all of our lives are so connected with technology. It's an opportunity that you can see is disrupting all of our lives in good ways, making things more modern or optimized. And so technology, I think in any business is an element. Even if you don't view yourself as a tech company, technology certainly can't be ignored. It's a big piece of how you can provide an experience to engage with your customers, but it's also a big piece how you can be profitable and optimized to run your business. So even if you pick something crazy, like a garbage management company, they need technology to do all kinds of things, to manage the routes of how you're going to go somewhere, or to be efficient on spending the fuel, or to know what measurements of things and how to respond. And so it's both being proactive and reactive, and technology advances the feedback loops to let that occur.
Are your brothers still with you in the current venture?
Yeah, that's right. So we've done the whole journey together. It's been a family business all along. We bootstrapped the business all along. And then 2 years ago, we brought on some investors, sold a sliver of the business to them, raised $100 million. At that time, it was the largest Series A in the state of Utah's history. And since then, my two brothers that I've done most of all the ventures with over the years, we've actually expanded the scope of our partnership. And I run Loan Pro now. One runs our family office. And we also started a public charity called Become More. And so heavily involved in those areas. So the scope of our partnership really has just expanded, and they're not Lloyd and Ben. My two brothers are not super involved in the day-to-day operations at Loan Pro. They're still on the board. They still do a bunch of consulting and engage accordingly, but they're busy spending time on the other areas of our partnership.
So is that kind of the balance of not having too much conflict with the brothers? It's like everybody has their own corporation.
I've heard that a lot. I've heard from a lot of people, oh, you do a family business. What's that? It's all I've ever known. It's always been great. They're awesome. We have this areas of specialty and divide and conquer. And I really like it. It's been fantastic for us. And we've known each other for our whole lives. And so it's this idea that's really high levels of trust, where if they say, hey, we're going to do it, then you can focus on something else because that thing's going to get done. So we've built a really strong group of people, which include the three brothers. But it also includes a broader scope of the folks who've been with us. So Cesar, he's my CTO. He's been with me for like 10 years. And that's a pretty unique thing to find a CTO who's not the founder. He's pretty close because he started really early with us. He's not the founder, but he's still with the same company. And so it's about building a culture that facilitates our own individual becoming journey. And so I've actually really loved the whole family business side of things. And I hear from a lot of people a little bit of hanging out as family business work, like maybe a little skeptical to it, but you're doing it with many more knowns than you would have doing not a family business. And so as long as you have high integrity and your actions are consistent with your beliefs, I believe it's actually lower risk to work with a known quantity than it is to not.
It sounds like the culture you've built as well, it gives everybody the room to do what they're good at and grow.
That's right. Friend of mine, I forget the name of the book, it'll come back to me in a moment, but it talks about a fish in a tree. And if you put a fish in a tree and you measure how well that fish can climb a tree, they're always going to fail. But fish are really good at swimming. And if you put a fish in water and you measure how well they are swimming, they're going to win. So as leaders, it's our responsibility to not put fish in trees, instead put them in the water. and to put whatever the analogy is of whoever's good at climbing a tree in a tree. This idea of having areas of specialty, always being a little bit uncomfortable, always a little bit, maybe a little over your skis, and that you're stretching yourself and you're becoming, because somebody's got to figure it out. But you have the entire culture of the team. So we do three commitments, right? Our first one is customer delight. Second commitment is becoming journey. And third is sustainable growth. But becoming doesn't mean it's just fun, right? Generally, becoming means it's a stretch, a little uncomfortable in that process. And that creates what I feel like is a really strong culture that is sustainable.
So we need sustainable culture, or else the business won't grow. So Rhett, if our listeners wanted to reach out, learn more about the business, become a customer, how could they do
so? Yeah, great. So our website is loanpro.io. And we're on all the different platforms and meetings. You can hit us on LinkedIn or whatever. But then check out our website. And I appreciate you, Chad, that the progress, and congratulations on your success. It's always fun to talk to other business owners and folks who are out there in the day-to-day making it happen and trying to make an impact of this world, make it a better place.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Rhett, for coming on the show, and everybody for listening to another episode of Failing to Success. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. I'm your host, Chad Galecki, and we'll see you next time.